Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. Remember Baal Peor. Listen to the words of Moses. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. Deuteronomy 4, verses 3 to 4. Why is Moses saying this now? Well, he's addressing the Israelites. He's renewing the covenant. He's restating the covenant. He's reminding, bringing home to Israel the covenant, reminding them before he dies. Remember Peter said in his letter, he said, I'm making every effort so that after my death, you will have all these things in remembrance. He's looking forward to the next generation. I won't be here, he said, but I want to make sure that you've got all the material that I can put before you. And Moses is doing the same here. And he said to them, now you must keep the covenant. Remember the past when Israel has broken the covenant. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. You know what's happened by experience. It so happened, all this, just so recently. And you saw what happened when you committed idolatry, when you went into pagan practices, and you saw the corruption, the immorality that flowed from it, and the terrible state of the judgment that came upon you at Baal Peor. You remember that God destroyed from among you all those hundreds and thousands of people that had sinned. Do you remember the terrible time at Baal Peor? There must be no straying from the covenant, positive or negative, no adding to the covenant, no taking away from the covenant. Well, it's only a little one. It's only a small change. It's only a little adjustment. It's just a little improvement. It's not very... Of course it is. The least alteration in the covenant of God is a sin, is a corruption. Why? Because it's God's revelation. But it's not only a sin, it's foolishness. Most of us are taking medication these days. If we tinker with the ingredients of medication, we make it into poison. You know, all possibilities of that. But in this matter, this is the revelation of God. What does it mean in practice here? These people are adopting pagan ideas, pagan principles, and using pagan practices. You know the words? Let's have the word for it. What is the word? Idolatry. And whatever you say about the covenant that God gave Israel, look at the Ten Commandments for a start. How do they start? Only one God, me, no other gods. Idolatry is forbidden over and over again. Idolatry is a terrible sin. Now, that's all there in the Old Covenant. No, no, my friend, it's all there in the New Covenant, too. How does John finish his letter? First letter, little children, keep yourself from idols. What does Paul say to the Ephesians? Idolatry. Well, what is that? Greed, lust, gossiping, all these things. Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of idols. We don't have to make totem poles or follow the great pagan gods of Molech and Chemosh and Baal and all these. No, there's plenty of gods about there. They're legion. And it's not just a historical thing for the Old Covenant. It's here in the New. Look at the book of Revelation. Look at chapters 2 and 3. Look at the churches there with the candlesticks removed. All of them gone. Look at North Africa. I fear, I speak from the United Kingdom, I fear if things go on the way they are, and it's exactly the same sins, oh, well, we're not idolaters. We're following pagan principles and practice, I'll tell you. There's very little difference in many cases now between pagan centres and churches, so-called, in the principles of which they are running these places. Oh, there's a smattering of the Bible and there's hymnology and that sort of thing. Oh, I'm alarmist. No, I don't think so. Well, there are It remains to be seen. But here's Moses. Don't add to the covenant and don't subtract. I believe there's plenty of addition and subtraction going on in the covenant of Christ today. And I see the book of Revelation 2 and 3, clear warnings here of what God will do. You know this hymn. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. What do you pray in that hymn when you're singing it? Nor wander from the pathway, if thou wilt be my guide. What do you mean, wander from the pathway? Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle. There's plenty of sights that dazzle the churches today. They're out there in the world. The tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me, and here's a thought, and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer, and shield my soul from sin. Yes, may Jesus draw near and shield us, but we have our responsibility too. We have to work out, trusting in God to work in. Oh, let me hear thee speaking. O Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee, and so on. Oh, let me see thy footmarks. Let me know your word, and in them plant mine own. And hope, my hope to follow duly is in thy strength alone. Oh, guide me, call me, draw me, uphold me to the end. May I never break the covenant. May I never add to it or subtract from it the covenant, the new covenant. And then in heaven receive me, my Saviour and my friend. May God help us. May help us in all this. If you look at the emphasis of 3 and 4, the Lord your God, the Lord your God, the Lord, oh, may God make that emphasis in our lives for Christ's sake. Amen.